This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run here with Lynn Marks, Julian Ng and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:36 in the morning, Tuesday the 12th of November. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Julian, you'll be speaking with Akram Shah Sanusi, chairman of the Mara Corporation.
That's right. Mara Corporation is to be distinguished from Mara itself. And back in 2016, a restructuring was done where all Mara assets were transferred to Mara. Actually, not all. Some have yet to be transferred. And we're going to speak with them on this, and also, of course, the very controversial Lynas project, which Mara Corp actually signed an MOU with them. And beyond the headlines, we'll also talk about whether Mara Corp's mission is relevant today in Malaysia.
All right, and that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news. Be sure to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, though, taking a look at some news on the international front. Yesterday, Hong Kong saw one of its most violent days since protests began in June. Clashes involving police and protesters left downtown paralysed. Transportation networks were hobbled, and two men are now clinging to life. So the chaos started early yesterday when demonstrators, still angry after the first protest-related death on Friday, moved to disrupt the morning commute.
Yeah, a scuffle ensued outside the subway station in which a police officer shot a protester at point blank, all of which was caught on video that went viral within moments. And the guy is currently in intensive care. Around the same time, a video emerged of a man doused with petrol and lit on fire who reportedly openly disagreed with radical protesters at the time of the attack. And he's also currently in critical condition.
So for a viewpoint from the ground, we speak this morning to Bhavan Jayaprakash, Senior Asia Correspondent with South China Morning Post. Thank you for joining us, Bhavan. So first off, please give us a sense of what it's like over there in Hong Kong right now. You know, what's the mood on the ground?
I think you have a sense of calm this morning, but also, you know, it's tense. We haven't seen the kind of violence that broke out early yesterday morning. It started at like around 6:30. The shooting happened at around 7:20 yesterday morning. Today, there has already been some bouts of protests happening, especially in the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Station has been already closed, but you know, it's a little bit more calm this morning after yesterday's violence, which is arguably, you know, the most acute episode of violence since the last 24 weeks of protests, but possibly more violent than what happened on October 1st, Chinese National Day.
Yeah, that's right. Because this comes right after that student who died following that fall. And now this shocking video of a man literally on fire has come out. Do you think that the protesters now are taking this to the next level?
I mean, I think the starting point to answer that is that the protest movement is not, as I understand it, as a resident of Hong Kong, that the protest movement is not monolithic. So there are these so-called really radical protesters who, you know, who believe that they need to wield violence, even bodily violence on other people to get their aims. But of course, I think a vast majority of Hong Kongers do not buy into that. A lot of the people who you see that, you know, out in the peaceful protest, they are, you know, moderate Hong Kongers, possibly even pro-establishment voters. I think there is dissatisfaction with government policy. There is dissatisfaction with Carrie Lam's leadership. And in the society, I think the use of such, you know, violence is really heinous. The fact that they felt that it was okay to burn somebody whose views they did not agree with. I think a lot of Hong Kong, like a vast majority of Hong Kongers, I think, disagree with that.
So, in that case, have you heard anything about the government's plan to intervene or perhaps clamp down on the protests since the level of violence has increased, either from local government or even Beijing?
I think that you know, it's too presumptuous to say the government. From the government's move, Carrie Lam's statement yesterday, I think they are happy to deal with the situation with the tools that they have. And basically that means the Hong Kong Police Force, the 30,000 strong force. And they think that, I think from my reading is that you're not going to see any kind of outside forces coming in from the mainland to supplement that. And perhaps also important to note is that, the number of protesters since it started in early June, the number of protesters has decreased. So there are numbers that show this. So there are, a large number of radical protesters, but it has come down, and that's partly due to some of the measures they've taken. They have got they used an emergency law to enact an anti-mask law that, forbid people from going into public protests with, wearing masks. And that kind of puts off some people from, going to the front lines to protest. The numbers have come down. And I guess my reading is that they are hoping that, if they wait it out, you can eventually quash the movement. Yeah.
But Bhavan, what's your sense then of what is going to come next? Do you think that the government will be able to quash the movement if they wait it out long enough? How long can this keep on going?
Right. So the next big landmark or watershed is the district council elections to come on, I think, November 24. That's kind of in some Malaysian state you have the third vote, right, for municipal councillors. So that's similar to that in Hong Kong. Municipal councillors are fully elected, and generally for the longest time, the municipal council is filled by people from the pro-Beijing camp, basically the pro-government camp. But so it's my reading that election could turn out to be the kind of like an outlet for the people to en masse give their views on the state of the government, on their views about Carrie Lam's administration. A lot of the reading is that the pro-democrat, the pan-democrat will sweep those elections. So that might have an effect in taking the sting out of the anti-government sentiment. But then again, you understand that these are district council elections. These district councillors, even if they are pan-democrats, even if they are sympathetic towards the protesters and their demands, their powers are limited. So, but going forward, the next 2 months, the elections are one milestone, but, really, the underlying political conflict is quite intractable, so I don't see a kind of an immediate kind of solution or endpoint to this unrest.
Thank you very much, Bhavan. And that was Bhavan Jayaprakash, Senior Asia Correspondent with South China Morning Post. And he pointed out that in 12 days, so November 24th, Hong Kong is going to go into their district council elections, and that could be another flashpoint for the protests. But, we've been hearing from some of our commentators that really this is... Hong Kong is almost going into hibernation, right? That this is not necessarily actually affecting the lives of the daily... the daily grind of the Hong Kong people. So you wonder whether it will start doing so at some point.
Well, yesterday, for the first time, I think the banks in the Central Business District, some of them issued notices to their staff, HSBC even included, BNP Paribas, I think, told staff that be careful on their way home because also carry their computers. And some of them were sent home early because they had the tear gas kind of entering their offices. So the question is this beginning to affect your daily life if you're in Hong Kong? Mm-hmm. I mean, we already see some slowdown in terms of retail sales, especially tourist arrivals.
It's a technical recession as well in
Hong Kong. Yeah, it is a technical recession. Just how long can this continue?
Yeah, and one thing I found interesting from his comments is that right now it's not a monolithic protest. The people of Hong Kong are already disagreeing with the violence that mm-hmm. is taking place.
But right now we are heading into a few messages and then we'll be back to take a look at more local news for you. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.